Attention, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. The active ingredient in this program is common sense, which has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism. Be advised that listening may cause you to lean to the right. The doctor will be with you momentarily. Here's your host, Todd Huff.
Well, welcome to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Here we are on, the official launch date on Red State Talk Radio. If you're listening on Red State Talk Radio, I would like to welcome you to the show. Thank you for joining us. Again, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. My name is Todd Huff. This is episode 131. So we have 130 full-length episodes under our belts. If you have an interest in listening to any of those, you can listen on our website. The easiest way to get there, I think, is actually toddhuffradio.com. But you can also go to theantidotetoliberalism.com to get to that website. And just go to the listen link, and you'll find an archive of all of our full-length podcasts, our episodes, our talk show episodes. And you'll find 130, this being the 131st. You will also find a series of episodes called The Daily Dose. And The Daily Dose is essentially, consider it a three-minute, a bite-sized chunk of conservatism, of political wit and humor and insight, just to help inoculate those in our society against the ravages of liberalism, of socialism, which we know we are under full assault from right now with what we're seeing in the Democrat Party primary, with the nutty Professor Bernie Sanders, with the possible criminal Hillary Clinton telling us that socialism and socialistic principles and values and all these phrases that you hear bannered about by socialists throughout history are being echoed on the Democrat stage. In fact, I read an article this morning that was saying Bernie's calling out Hillary for echoing his campaign. Well, I'd like to call out Bernie for echoing the campaign of socialists throughout time, all the way back to to Joseph Stalin, to the Soviet communists, to Fidel Castro, to Hugo Chavez, to keep naming them as many as you want. Bernie Sanders echoes those as well. And Hillary Clinton, yes, she does share his values, his principles, his viewpoints, but Bernie is much louder and prouder about that. But anyway, I just wanted to welcome you, those listening on Red State Talk Radio, our regular listeners as well, listening on iTunes or SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you're listening, I'd like to welcome you. Thank you for joining us. As you know, regular listeners, those that have been with us from the beginning or early on, you know that the show is going to take a little bit different format today. Not tremendously different, but you'll find a little bit different format. You'll see that we have some new sponsors and just a little bit different format. Not tremendously different. In fact, many of you probably won't even notice too much of a difference, but nonetheless, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here, and thanks for joining us. You know, before we get started, I wanted to share a personal note here. I shared on Friday that my 4-year-old daughter and I went to a daddy-daughter dance. I guess a Valentine's dance, if you will, a week after Valentine's Day. And when I first asked her to go, which was sometime, it's hosted by our local, our parks department, I guess. And I was as I was running in the park one day, I saw it on the sign and it said, you know, Daddy Daughter Dance, February, whatever that was, February 20th, I guess. And I thought, I'm going to take my 4-year-old to this. So I came home and I said, hey, I'd like you to go with me to the Daddy Daughter Dance. And she told me no. She shook her head. She wasn't very happy about this. In fact, there may have been some screaming at me, and there may have even been a tear or two. I don't know what she thought we were going to do. I think she thought we were going to get up on stage in front of a large crowd and basically start dancing. I don't know. I really don't know what she expected. And after much persistence on my behalf. I refused to accept no from my four-year-old's mouth on this particular issue because, look, I think this stuff's important. It was fun. And we went. She finally broke down. She told me yes. We went to the dance, not without a few incidents, which I won't get into, prior to the dance. I was lucky in a lot of ways even to make it with some issues that popped up. But regardless, we had a great time. And if you find video surfacing of a white-headed, late-30s guy dancing with his four-year-old daughter on the dance floor to, what did we dance to? To Let It Go, what, from the movie Frozen, doing some foot stomps and raising my arm like the, Elsa, I guess, Elsa and Anna do. If you find me doing the, what's the one? Funky Chicken or something like that. These things are all, I'm going to deny that it's me, but in reality it probably is. So anyway, we had a great time this week, and I encourage you, dads, even grandparents, grandfathers, if you have daughters or granddaughters that want to do something like this and you can do it, yeah, I know we've got good dads in this audience. I know I don't mean it like that at all. But I had a great time, and I'm not a dancer. I'm not a dancer at all. I got two left feet, as they say. So anyway, had a lot of fun. Just wanted to share that since I mentioned on Friday that we were going to go. So this weekend, Saturday, was the South Carolina primary for the GOP, for the Republican Party. Of course, the Democrats were in Nevada, out in Las Vegas. In fact, I had a friend that was out. I think he might have been in the same building as Hillary. Just all sorts of possibilities. Knowing this guy, who knows if he would have encountered her, how that would have gone down. But regardless, Democrats in Nevada caucus, Hillary wins by about 5 points. In South Carolina, Trump wins. Trump wins, you know, he'll hear people say Trump won big. He won by 10 points. Trump 32.5, Rubio 22.5, Cruz 22.3, Bush 7.8, Kasich 7.6, and Carson at 7.2. So Trump won by 10. Trump is clearly the front runner. Trump is up in most national polls. And Trump has a huge head of momentum. Trump, perhaps more importantly here, won all 50 South Carolina delegates. Now, you may be wondering, how did he win all 50 since this was not technically a winner-take-all state? Well, it's not. I think the winner got 26, and then they went congressional district by congressional district to allocate the remaining delegates. And so whoever won each congressional district received additional delegates. And it turns out that Trump won every single congressional district in the state of South Carolina. In that respect, that is incredibly impressive. So he walks away with 50 delegates. So now the total delegate count. Now, the delegate count, when you hear these words, you hear the word scorecard. This is what ultimately matters for someone to receive the nomination. It's very similar to in the presidential election when we have electoral votes, excuse me. The number of electoral votes that each presidential candidate gets is very similar to what a delegate is. So it's actually the delegates are the scorecard, just as electoral votes are the scorecard for presidential elections, the actual Republican versus Democrat in November. That scorecard is based on not on the popular vote, which is important a couple of times throughout history. In fact, Gore Bush in 2000, George W. Bush actually won fewer of the popular votes, but he won more electoral votes. Even though I know the leftists right now are screaming at me saying, Bush didn't win Florida, Bush did win Florida, it was fixed. And they'll mention Scalia and Thomas and the Supreme Court and all this stuff. But Bush won. Bush won every recount. Bush won the state of Florida, giving him enough electoral votes to win the presidency in 2000. Hanging chads, all of this stuff, Bush was the winner. Now, in order to, back to this nomination, in order to receive the nomination from the GOP, someone has to receive a total of 1,237 delegates. We've been through this. You understand this. But the current delegate count is Trump at 67, Cruz at 11, Rubio at 10, Kasich at 5, and Carson at 3. Now, you may have noticed that I skipped over Bush, who does have a few delegates, I think from Iowa. It could have been from somewhere else. Maybe New Hampshire. Regardless, I didn't mention Bush because Bush, as you well know, has now officially dropped out of the race for president of the United States. He's no longer going to be considered as the Republican nominee. I have to be honest. I did not necessarily see this coming. I mean, I guess in the big scheme of things, I did see this coming, but I didn't see it happening this quickly. I mean, he did bring in all of the big guns to South Carolina. I mean, he brought in his mom, his family. George W. was on the stump for him, trying to get some people to support him. He just never got any traction. He actually was trending upward, which isn't necessarily saying anything because he was really started very low. Other than the initial launch, I mean, once we got into all the candidates being in the field, Bush quickly dropped to the bottom and just never recovered. So now there's five: Trump, Cruz, Rubio, Kasich, and Carson. And many would say there's three. Kasich and Carson have a really, really unlikely path to winning this thing. I mean, that the likelihood of that happening is in my estimation, and in most people's estimation, is incredibly thin, slim. So it's down to Trump, Rubio, and Cruz. And the question is, does Trump continue to grow and to gain popularity? Or as the field begins to thin, does the support go to the other candidates? And that's really the question. That's really throughout the course of the what remains in this nomination process, which candidly can be quite a bit. Keep in mind, Trump is only about 5.5% of the way to getting the delegates that he needs. Even at 67, even though he has a 56 delegate lead right now over Ted Cruz, 57 delegate lead over Rubio, he still has a long, long way to go. This is still early. We've only had three states count. Tomorrow's Nevada. So there'll be some delegates that'll be awarded there. But even if Trump wins all of those, I think Nevada has 30 delegates. We're still looking at under, if Trump were to win all 30, which I don't think Nevada will turn out that way from what I've read. I don't know exactly. Look, every state has a little bit different process and rules. But even if Trump does, he's not even going to have 100 at that point, and he needs 1,237. The next big date, of course, is Super Tuesday. And Trump, as I've read, is leading in 8 of the 12 states in current polling. But one of those states is Texas, and Cruz is up there. Texas has 155 delegates. So this still has a long way of playing out. In fact, there's an article in the National Review, and I'll post this on our show notes page. If you go to toddhuffradio.com and just go to show notes, you will find notes from this show. I'm going to make them more and more abbreviated, but you're going to find links to articles and things that I've referenced on this show. And I'm going to reference an article that I read this morning in National Review. And the claim in this article is that in order for a GOP candidate to win the nomination before June, now keep in mind, here we are at the end of February, before June, according to this article, the candidate must have essentially 45% of the popular vote cast up until that moment. So between now and the end of May, 45%. Now, you'll look, I don't think you'll find a single poll with any candidate at 45%. I know Trump has gotten close. He's been in the 40s in a few polls. But when you look at this state by state, it gets tricky. Now, I haven't done the actual research here. That's not what I do. I'm just telling you what this article says. I'm going to post it there. And there's a bunch of others that have said, hey, this is a foregone conclusion. Trump has dominated the race. He is in good position. He is going to cruise to victory. No pun intended to Ted Cruz there. But he's going to move on to victory to become the Republican nominee for president of the United States. Again, my philosophy is, look, he is clearly winning. And there's, it's amazing to me. I look and there is, the Trump supporters are 100% on board with him, fired up, ready to go. Those that are against Trump, I mean, a lot of those folks, I mean, if Trump's the nominee, there's a lot of folks, I don't know how, if they're going to, are they going to vote? I don't know. I mean, I've got some friends that, I don't know. They may have to be convinced to go to the polls to vote for Trump if that's their choice. Now, granted, there's a lot of folks that are ready and anxious and chomping at the bit to go to the polls to vote for Trump. But my point is that there's still a chunk of the Republican Party. You have to figure Trump got 1/3 of the vote in South Carolina, and he's getting roughly 1/3 of the vote now. So there's 2/3 of the party that prefers someone else. And if the someone else crowd wants it to be someone else, they better find their someone else really quick. Rubio or Cruz. I mean, it looks like it's going to be Rubio or Cruz if it's going to be anyone besides Trump. So anyway, this article on National Review basically says that it's going to be hard for someone to get to the 1,237 votes, at least until summer, to the delegates anyway. And so the questions remain, what happens as these candidates drop out? What happens to their supporters? Do Bush's supporters go to Rubio? Are they spread out equally? Does Trump pick up some of those? I mean, it's hard to imagine. If you were supportive of Jeb Bush, with the way that Donald Trump assaulted and attacked him in many instances. I mean, can these folks move to Donald Trump? I don't know. Maybe they can. Maybe they can't. But where do they go? Are they split evenly? Are they between a couple of candidates? Do they move to Rubio? Do they move to Kasich? I don't know. We'll see how this plays out. And then you have to factor in who wins the big states of Texas and Ohio. And that's one of the reasons John Kasich is staying in, so that he can hopefully, from his vantage point, win Ohio, have those delegates, which I believe Ohio is a winner-take-all state, 66 delegates, I believe. So, a lot of things developing here on the GOP front, and it is far from over. Now, on the Democrat side, it's much different, and we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. We'll be back in just a minute.
Red State Talk Radio is All-American Talk Radio.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-614-7180. 800-614-7180. 800-614-7180. That's 800-614-7180.
Looking for a very special, one-of-a-kind gift? Celebrating an anniversary or birthday? Having a baby? Planning a wedding? Graduating? Or maybe you just want to add a custom handmade accent to your home, business, or church decor? Whatever the case, visit toddhuffradio.com/art and take a look yourself. Trust me, guys, the special lady in your life will absolutely love this. Each piece of custom chalk art is specifically made for you by our extremely talented program partner and includes high-quality artwork and beautiful handwritten calligraphy. I'm telling you, this is very cool stuff. In fact, we love it so much that my wife and I recently placed an order. So visit toddhuffradio.com/art to take a look. And for a limited time, save 10% by using special offer code ARTWORK during checkout. Again, visit toddhuffradio.com/art and enter code ARTWORK during checkout to save 10%. But hurry, this offer is only available for a limited time. Well, welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. By the way, it is Monday. It is February 22nd. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for joining us. You know, before the break, we were talking about the Republican, the GOP primary, the nomination process, where we stand after South Carolina. But let's look at the Democrats. I mentioned before the break, this is fantastic to me. Democrats have a different series of rules, a different set of ways that delegates are calculated, and they actually give a lot more what they call superdelegates. The Democrats have huge numbers of superdelegates, which a superdelegate is basically somebody who is, a congressman, I think a governor, political leader, someone in the party who can cast his or her vote however he or she sees fit, regardless of how their particular state voted. So let's say, as in the case with New Hampshire supported Bernie Sanders in large percent in overall. But when you look at how the superdelegates assigned their votes, the superdelegates actually gave most of their support to Hillary Clinton. And that's because they're free to do that. Now, it sounds an awful lot to me like the Democrats don't trust the individual voters in their party, kind of like how they don't trust you or me to run our own life. I mean, we have to be told constantly about what we can eat, what we can drive. We have to have all these governmental interventions to protect us from ourselves when it comes to guns and, climate change and all of these sorts of things where we can't function, what we can build on our own land. I mean, the government thinks they know best. And the Democrat Party, who is home, frankly, to those who believe in the big government, the Democrat Party also does not believe in its voters. So they developed these things called superdelegates. And the superdelegates can vote, as I mentioned, however they choose. And you know this. So after three states, now the Democrats have had the Iowa caucus, the Democrats have had the New Hampshire primary, and now the Democrats have had the Nevada caucus. So after three states have cast their votes, so to speak, and keep in mind, Iowa, coin tosses, chance about she's a liar, razor-thin margins. We still had our friend sexy Martin O'Malley, who was in the midst of that race, who pulled a few delegates. Between Martin O'Malley, our friend sexy, I should say, Martin O'Malley, and between coin tosses and chance of she's a liar, somehow Hillary walked out of there with 6 out of 6 coin tosses, incidentally. Sounds like her odds were good in Vegas, based upon those numbers. I mean, she had a less of a chance of winning 6 coin tosses than Elizabeth Warren has in being part Native American. And Hillary walks away with Iowa because of coin tosses, sexy Martin O'Malley, chance of she's a liar. I mean, all this stuff going on. So razor thin there. Then we go to New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a relative blowout where Bernie Sanders, the socialist, the nutty professor himself, pulls away from Hillary in New Hampshire, which is, of course, neighboring to his home state of Vermont. And he goes on to win New Hampshire pretty handily. Then we moved to Nevada, and it was a close one. I think Hillary ended up winning by like 52-47 or something like this, about 5 points. So that's how this has played out so far. And you would probably guess, if you were a reasonable thinking individual who didn't really understand how weighted these superdelegates are, especially at the beginning, well, at least at the beginning of the process, you would think that the delegate count is close. In fact, it is actually a dead tie. If you take away the superdelegates, it's 51-51, Hillary and the Nutty Professor. Now, when you throw in the superdelegates that have pledged their support, when you throw those folks in, the total goes up to, depending on where you read, I've seen 500 to 502 delegates that support Hillary Clinton and 70 that support the Nutty Professor. It's 502-70. I mean, let that sink in. After what we just laid out there, Iowa and coin tosses and the razor-thin margins, a virtual blowout in New Hampshire, and then a relatively close Nevada caucus. And after all of that, Hillary leads by 430 votes. Delegates, anyway. How is this possible? 430 delegate vote lead after what I just laid out for you. Absolutely unbelievable. And actually, it reminds me of today's Daily Dose, which if you want to listen to that, feel free. You can find those on the website as well. But I talk about this, and you know, it's assumed a lot of times that the Republicans are the ones with the problems in the party. But in reality, if you look at what's going on with all this, the real circus is on the left. So anyway, guys, I've got to stop and take a break. You're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. We'll be back in just a minute.
Make sure your booster shots are up to date by signing up for Todd's free monthly email newsletter. It's educational, it's fun, and it's free. Go to ToddHuffRadio.com/newsletter to sign up today.
Thanks for calling Consolidated Credit Counseling Services. Can I help you?
I sure hope so. I'm in debt.
Is it credit card bills?
Yes, I have two credit cards that I'm making minimum payments on and another that I'm behind on. I owe about $5,000.
What interest rates are you paying?
Between 18 and 22%.
At that rate, it'll take over 20 years to pay off.
Wow. 20 years?
What Consolidated Credit can do is work with your creditors to lower your payments and reduce or even eliminate your interest charges. You should be able to pay everything off in 3 or 4 years.
What do I have to do?
Just give me some details and get ready to celebrate your freedom from debt.
Call Consolidated Credit right now for your free debt consultation. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunlight Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031.
In 2014, my family's insurance premiums increased dramatically. In fact, our premiums were going to cost more than the average American's monthly mortgage payment. I guess the Affordable Care Act isn't all that affordable. With three kids under five and a stay-at-home homeschooling mom, we had to start looking for other solutions, and fast. Inner Samaritan Ministries and their biblical, non-insurance approach to healthcare needs. Like you, we were skeptical. But let me tell you, we absolutely love being members of Samaritan Ministries. It costs us much less to participate in Samaritan Ministries than to buy health insurance. Plus, it's easier, much more efficient, and other members actually pray for us when we have a healthcare need. My wife and I both love Samaritan Ministries, and I wholeheartedly recommend it. Go to ToddHuffRadio.com/healthcare to learn more and to download our special application. If you complete that application, you'll get a $50 credit on your first bill. Go to ToddHuffRadio.com/healthcare to learn more and to download the application today. Welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. You know, before the break, we've talked a little bit about the Republicans. We've talked a little bit about the Democrats. But I want to sink our teeth a little bit here into what's going on for the Democrat Party. I mean, the Democrat Party is an absolute mess right now. It is. It is an absolute mess. The party has been taken over by socialists. Yeah, I know they tell me they're democratic socialists. And I'm supposed to think that that's a great thing. You know, just because someone puts the word democratic in front of it, as though it's okay to say, well, you know, it's okay for people to take other people's property, so long as at least 50.1% of the people say it's okay. At least half of the people have to be able to say, you can take that person's property, you can take that person's right. That's actually, incidentally, contrary to the constitutional republic upon we are built and firmly established. I mean, there's a reason that we have a Bill of Rights. There's a reason that we respect personal property. There's a reason that we are a nation that lives under the rule of law, of constitutional principles. You know, and this ties back into Antonin Scalia and the great things that he did for the Supreme Court and, as a result, for the United States of America, for holding up, for standing beside, for defending that great document, the Constitution, the liberties and the freedoms and the the foundation for our society that are found within that document, Antonin Scalia defended and protected. Now we've got someone like Bernie Sanders, who is literally attacking fundamentally, foundationally, what made America great. Saying that we need something better. We need to, we need to become a nation that is socialist. Democratic socialist, of course, and they'll explain to you why that's different than pure socialism, which always, incidentally, when it bears complete fruit, ripened fruit, that fruit is always communist. I mean, socialists are just communists with patience. If someone can control your economic life, how much money you earn, how much money you have to pay for X, Y, and Z, it's a very short trip to them for them to tell you a lot of other things in your life, up to and including some of the most personal things. What God you can, or in many cases cannot, worship. As in the case with communism in general, the state is God. There is no higher authority in the communist mind than the state. And as such, you can't be worshiping any other God. Now, I guess they're okay. And in fact, the Soviet Union would allow some churches, so long as the gospel really wasn't proclaimed and preached and didn't really take a hold to where people actually lived out a different life. You know, here in our country, the founders actually wanted people to be religious. They wanted people to want to do good because of their belief in God. They didn't want them simply to want to do good because the state says it was wrong, because the federal government said it was wrong. They wanted people to have a conscience. They wanted people to want to seek good, to care about their brother, to provide help that didn't have to go through the government and some welfare agency. The founders believed that man, while he was flawed and while he was, full of sin, imperfect, not living out the life that he was created to live, that it's been tarnished, that we've all made mistakes, we've all done things we shouldn't do. The founders believed those things. Most of the founders, look, a big chunk of the founders weren't even just Christians. A lot of those guys went to seminary schools. I mean, we had, in essence, preachers and teachers of the gospel that were founding fathers, a good chunk of those guys. They weren't just guys that casually read the Bible and that interjected pop cultural the religious flavor of the day. These were guys that fundamentally believed in the power of the gospel, the transforming power of Jesus. But they didn't believe that you should be forced to believe that. You're free to believe whatever you so desire. And they helped build a society that allowed for the freedom of religion, the freedom of the press, for people to say, express what they wanted to express, to disagree with the government in those areas where the government needed to be disagreed with, to speak out harshly even against the rulers and the kings. Of course, they were dealing with the King of England, King George, and he was a ruthless tyrant. And they understood what it was like to not be able to have that right. So the founders understood these things, but Soviets and communists and these folks, they don't want this because it interferes with what their ultimate purpose is, which is control over every aspect of your life. So this is what we hear on the Democrat stage today. We hear it in phrases and terms that maybe sounds a little right. Not if you analyze it and not if you're someone that studies politics, but to the masses, it sounds right because it talks about caring and compassion and giving and making sure that we take care of the less fortunate and all these phrases and keywords that seem to make the masses follow instructions like a dog whistle. But conservatism is much better. But the Democrat Party is imploding. Not only is it ideologically imploding, and even though Chris Matthews will swear to me, will swear to every one of us that the Democrat Party is not the party of socialists. In fact, he begged Debbie Wasserman Schultz to explain the difference between a Democrat and a socialist. She couldn't do it. He begged Hillary Clinton to describe the difference, to explain the difference between a Democrat and a socialist. She couldn't do it. And I'm going to tell Chris Matthews, even though he tells me every time he has this conversation with a Democrat, that, well, you know, the differences are big. I think they're big, but, you know, and he doesn't explain it. He just leaves it at that. Well, the reason he can't take it any further, the reason Debbie Wasserman Schultz couldn't take it any further, the reason Hillary Rodham Clinton couldn't take it any further, who, by the way, is a female. Did you know Hillary Clinton's a woman and a grandmother? In case you didn't know that. Public service for Hillary, by the way. But the reason Chris Matthews and those folks, Hillary and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, cannot explain the difference is because there is no noticeable difference. There's no substantive difference between a Democrat and a socialist. Case in point, look at where the modern, the current primary process is going. Look at the support given for Bernie Sanders, who is an unabashed, unapologetic, dyed-in-the-wool socialist. Hardcore, radical socialist. I mean, 50 years ago, these people would be branded as such. No one would take these folks seriously. They would see them as the dangerous individuals that they are. Not that Bernie Sanders, look, I'm saying ideologically dangerous. This sort of thing unleashed on America leads to poverty, leads to the opposite of what we've had over the course of American history. The American economy, the American way of life developed because of what was unleashed by our founding documents. Socialism will take those accomplishments, that American spirit, and begin to force it back into the box of socialism, which definitely equalizes the playing field, but it equalizes it so that every person is equal in poverty and misery. And I don't want these jokers telling me what to do. I'm a very free-spirited individual. I like to do things my way, win or lose. And we all have that right. You have that right. But Bernie Sanders wants to say what you should make and how much you should pay somebody and how much vacation time you should get, and all these little intricate little details that are best suited for the private free market to decide. Bernie Sanders thinks that he and the government elites can best determine what to do with those little bitty nuances, those tiny decisions in your life that you are best suited to solve. And it's not just that. We've got FBI indictments, potential FBI indictments. Hillary's under investigation. There's 150 FBI agents investigating her. I've got leftists telling me she's not under investigation. I tell them that they should probably tell the 150 FBI agents then, because they're apparently under a different impression. As they're digging through her past, looking at emails, looking at top secret documents on bathroom servers. I mean, this is a mess. I haven't even scratched the surface yet. We haven't even talked about her health. We haven't even talked about some of the things that, guys, I just looked up at the clock. I'm running a little bit long here in this segment. I've got to stop. When we get back, we'll continue on this. You're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Be back in just a minute.
Impressed by J-Dot's latest Eminem-inspired 3-in-3 beat? Can't get enough of his one-of-a-kind style? Well, there's good news. Visit ToddHuffRadio.com/fun to access an archive of J-Dot's hilarious and entertaining 3-in-3s today.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-614-7180, 800-614-7180, 800-614-7180, that's 800-614-7180.
Do you have a liberal friend that you'd like to prank? Why not Gagalib? Visit gagalib.com and anonymously pick a t-shirt to send to your liberal friend, coworker, professor, classmate, or relative. Upon arriving home in their Prius or bicycle, your liberal friend will find the special package waiting in the mailbox or on the doorstep. The t-shirt will arrive in one of our custom shipping tubes. Besides the mildly offensive t-shirt, the Gagalib victim will also receive an ever so slightly provocative letter in the package. But rest assured, this is all in good fun and is totally clean. The letter invites the Gagalib victim to guess the gagger, which is you, anonymously, of course. Any guess we receive will be forwarded to you by email. You can then decide to reveal your identity or remain permanently anonymous. Imagine the endless fun and possibilities of Gagalib. Visit Gagalib.com to learn more or to place your order today. That's Gagalib.com. Gagalib.com. Welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. You know, before the break, we were talking about all of the problems that the Democrat Party has. And I'm supposed to believe that all the problems are on the right. You know, all the problems are in the Republican Party. And look, the GOP, there is a fight for the heart and mind of the party. There used to be two wings. Now I think there may be three. There was the establishment group that wanted to hold on to power, that just thought that they could be better managers than the Democrats, that nothing really needed to be radically changed within the government, and that given the chance, they can make things better and more prosperous because they, in fact, were just better governors, better folks that could govern better than the Democrats. Then there's the conservatives, the constitutional conservatives. That would be me, someone who believes that America was made great intentionally because of how it was set up to function, with free markets and liberty and the freedom of speech and religion, the right to keep and bear arms. I mean, what you find in the Bill of Rights, the principles you hear echoed in the Declaration of Independence, this is what made America great. And if we can restore those principles, if we can once again be a nation of laws, of a balance of power, of a nation that doesn't just live by executive order or by someone in the White House that does whatever he or she wants, as is the case with President Obama, the anti-constitutional president, by the way, not just unconstitutional, anti-constitutional. That's the ticket to restoring American greatness. And then the third wing is, of course, what I think is represented by Donald Trump, which is just the outsider, which is someone that says politics in general is broken. He doesn't necessarily, now the Trump supporters may disagree with me on this, he doesn't necessarily promote any specific ideology. I mean, he'll come down on certain issues pretty detailed. I mean, he's got a detailed tax plan, his immigration, his wall. I mean, you can like it or dislike it, but he has a definite policy on this. But some of these other issues, what is his ideology? What is his view of the Constitution? What about health care? He talked about earlier, even in South Carolina, he talked about how the government needs to provide for some people, the federal government. It's not necessarily the way you fix this. When you take it out of the hands of the free market, I mean, there's some definite things that raises questions about his ideological beliefs. But that's not the reason for his support. The support is behind Donald Trump because he is someone that is going to just change the way Washington functions. As he puts it, we have a bunch of idiots. We have a bunch of losers. We have a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing in Washington. I know what I'm doing. Put me in there and I'm going to fix it all. I'm going to make good deals with China. I'm going to build a wall on the border with Mexico. Mexico is going to pay for it. We're going to win. We're going to win so much. We're going to get tired of winning. You know, the Canadians are going to love us. The Russians are going to love us. All the world's going to love us because of Trump and what he can pull off just in an individual deal. This is what he tells people. So there's that avenue of people as well. But there is a fight for this. And while Trump is leading it, and there's also some crossover, right? I mean, the constitutional conservative crowd, which I'm a part of, says, look, there's a lot of what Trump is saying. Take away the positions and the details in the face of whoever is saying it. But we need to see some radical changes there. But there needs to be ideologically sound. It's not just enough to change it. I mean, we did that before, right, with Obama, hope and change. We didn't know what we were hoping for or what we were changing, but by golly, Obama's the guy to do it. Let's elect him. Let's elect him twice. And I'm not accusing Trump supporters of being like that. But what I'm saying is there's more to it than just that. There's more to it than just needing to change something. We have to change it for the better. We have to make it work. And what we know works is constitutional conservatism. That's what we need to move to. But the Democrats are the mess. They're the ones that have the secret emails. They're the ones that have potential indictments. They're the ones that have 150 FBI agents investigating people, a presidential candidate. I mean, they could have Hillary Clinton, a potential criminal, in an orange jumpsuit and an ankle bracelet on stage at one of these upcoming Democrat debates or town halls. She's got top secret documents on private bathroom servers. We've got Benghazi. We've got potential health problems. We've got potential post-concussion issues. She's gone back to the thick lens glasses. We talked about that last week. I'm not a big fan of armchair doctoring. But this doctor says that there's definite signs that there might be a bigger problem going on here. And head-to-head political matchups against Republican nominees, the only one she's beating right now that I've seen is Donald Trump, and it's not by much. She's unlikable. She's untrustworthy. She's launched her campaign, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 times? I can't even keep up. The party is imploding. We're the ones with the momentum. We're the ones that have a lot of things to offer. We're the ones that have actual ideas. Ideas that are not rooted in, well, socialism. Ideas that are rooted in free market capitalism. That helps spur growth and opportunity. And as Reagan says, a rising tide raises all ships. And that's what we need to get back to. That's what we need to get as our focal point once again. And so the fight is good. I mean, having this fight is an important thing. It allows us to be able to engage and change the direction of this, potentially, of where America's going. And this election is important. So anyway, Republicans have a lot of good things going for them, even though it can get ugly at times. The Democrats are truly imploding. Truly 100% imploding. So guys, I've got to stop and take one more break. When we get back, I just want to wrap up for the day. You're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Be back in just a minute.
Want to hear our latest parody songs, learn our famous talk show lingo, or listen to J-Dot's 3-in-3 classics? Visit ToddHuffRadio.com/fun. It's 100% free and 100% fun. All at the expense of liberals, of course.
Thanks for calling Consolidated Credit Counseling Services. Can I help you?
I sure hope so. I'm in debt.
Is it credit card bills?
Yes, I have 2 credit cards that I'm making minimum payments on and another that I'm behind on. I owe about $5,000.
What interest rates are you paying?
Between 18 and 22%.
At that rate, it'll take over 20 years to pay off.
Wow, 20 years?
What Consolidated Credit can do is work with your creditors to lower your payments and reduce or even eliminate your interest charges. You should be able to pay everything off in 3 or 4 years.
What do I have to do?
Just give me some details and get ready to celebrate your freedom from debt.
Call Consolidated Credit right now for your free debt consultation. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunlight Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031.
Looking for a very special, one-of-a-kind gift? Celebrating an anniversary or birthday? Having a baby? Planning a wedding? Graduating? Or maybe you just want to add a custom, handmade accent to your home, business, or church decor? Whatever the case, visit ToddHuffRadio.com/art and take a look yourself. Trust me, guys, the special lady in your life will absolutely love this. Each piece of custom chalk art is specifically made for you by our extremely talented program partner and includes high-quality artwork and beautiful handwritten calligraphy. I'm telling you, this is very cool stuff. In fact, we love it so much that my wife and I recently placed an order. So visit toddhuffradio.com/art to take a look. And for a limited time, save 10% by using special offer code ARTWORK during checkout. Again, visit toddhuffradio.com/art and enter code ARTWORK during checkout to save 10%. But hurry, this offer is only available for a limited time. Welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. And guys, it's about going to do it here for the our first show on Red State Talk Radio. For those of you that are listening on Red State Talk Radio, it has been a pleasure to have you here. I look forward to to being on this on Red State Talk Radio. I think it's got a great thing going over here, and it's my pleasure. If there's older episodes, if you want to catch up and just get familiar with who we are, what we do here, I encourage you to go to our website. You'll find just about everything I think you'll need there. You'll find information about me should you want to figure out who this crazy guy is behind the microphone here. You can read a little bit about my background. You can read a little bit about, there's all sorts of stuff on the website. You can listen to old episodes. You can subscribe, by the way, to iTunes or Stitcher or whatever if you want to do that as well. But we'll be here midnight to 1 a.m., weeknights. So I'm very much looking forward to this. Also, you can find there's a few things that we do. Look, we seek to do three things on this show: educate, entertain, and energize conservatives and Christians for that matter. I'm a Christian, by the way. You don't have to be a Christian to listen to this show. I happen to believe very strongly in the Bible and the gospel of Christ, but I fully respect your personal decisions to decide not to. That's fine. It doesn't mean I won't try to persuade from time to time, but this is a political commentary show that's got strong Christian undertones. But we try to educate, we talk about current events, we talk about politics, and we don't just talk about them on a superficial level. We try to talk about them on a substantive level, where we actually get into why these ideas matter, how the American way, how constitutional conservatism is better than socialism, than some of these other things that are offered and promised by those on the left and in, other places. But we do that through a variety of ways. One of those ways is a second thing that we try to do is we try to have fun. We try to entertain. So we have some things. In fact, we do. You've heard them. I think we had some spots running throughout the show for something called Gagalib that we do that I think is a lot of fun. It's a paid service, but we also do some free things like 3 and 3. You'll hear 3 and 3s that we play here from time to time by someone we affectionately refer to as JDOT on this show. And you can learn more about 3 and 3s by going to our website as well. Again, you can get there by going to theantidotetoliberalism.com, toddhuffradio.com. I think toddhufftalk.com will get you there as well. And guys, you can also connect with me personally. I love to hear from listeners. Email address is, I'm going to give you the new one. I think the antidotetoliberalism.com is a little hard to communicate over audio. So that you can always email me todd@theantidotetoliberalism.com, but you can also email me todd@toddhuffradio.com, which I think is a little bit easier. And of course, you can connect with us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @commonsensegear. Get on there, check us out, connect with us there. We have a Facebook page and stuff like that as well, but Twitter's where we're definitely more active. So anyway, guys, it has been an absolute pleasure to be here. I've loved this. I'm 6 months in. We launched, incidentally, on August 10th. We're 6 months in, just a little bit over that now. And, we're having a lot of fun. And I appreciate you, each and every one of you. I just appreciate you so much for listening to this show. So thanks for joining us. Guys, I've got a wrap-up that does it for us today. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Your inoculations are now up to date. But since the disease of liberalism is ubiquitous and highly contagious, we need to see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, to help you boost your immunity, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.